It amazes me how many people don't realize the river in central London is tidal. I hear them comment on it as they pause at the river wall above me, while I am mudlarking below. Even friends, who have lived in the city for years, are oblivious to the high and low tides that chase each other around the clock, inching forwards every 24 hours. One tide gradually creeping through the day, while the other takes the night shift. They have no idea that the height between low and high water at London Bridge varies from 15 to 22 feet, or that it takes 6 hours for the water to come upriver and 6.5 for it to flow back out to sea. I am obsessed with the incessant rise and fall of the water. For years, my spare time has been controlled by the river's ebb and flow, and the consequent covering and uncovering of the foreshore. I know where the river allows me access early, and where I can stay for the longest time before I am gently, but firmly, shooed away. I have learned to read the water and catch it as it turns, to recognize the almost imperceptible moment when it stops flowing seawards and the currents churn together briefly as the balance tips and the river is once more pulled inland, the anticipation of the receding water replaced by a sense of loss, like saying goodbye to an old friend after a long-awaited visit. It is the tides that make mudlarking in London so unique. For just a few hours each day, the river gives us access to its contents, which shift and change as the water ebbs and flows, to reveal the story of a city, its people, and their relationship with a natural force. If the Seine in Paris were tidal, it would no doubt provide a similar bounty and satisfy an army of Parisian mudlarks. When the non-tidal Amstel River in Amsterdam was recently drained to make way for a new train line, archaeologists recorded almost 700,000 objects of just the sort we find in the Thames. Buttons that burst off waistcoats long ago, rings that slipped from fingers, buckles that are all that's left of a shoe. The personal possessions of ordinary people, each small piece a key to another world and a direct link to long-forgotten lives. As I have discovered, it is often the tiniest of objects that tell the greatest stories.